and also celebrating. Pastor Leon is here with us from Haiti and our partnership. We haven't been able to go to Haiti the last few years, but thankfully Pastor Leon can be with us, and you'll be blessed as he shares with us this morning some of the things happening in Haiti, and as he shares God's word with us here in just a few moments.
Calling, come follow me, and we see red eye footprints falling, lead us to thee, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow steps of Jesus wherever they go. Oh, they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep. Or along by Siloam's mountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow. Our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his dawn. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
Pastor Leon, it is all your time. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mike. Good morning. What a worship service. Man, I've been here, I don't know, four, five, six times. I'm getting old. I don't remember anymore. But what a worship service. Baptism, good song, worship service. I mean, if you come out the way you came, something is going somewhere. You have received something from all the things that are happening here. And thanks be to God, isn't it? It's wonderful. I'm so glad I'm here. So glad I could be part of your worship service. And so glad that we are partners in the Lord's work in Haiti, Canada, and wherever the Lord will lead us. I'm happy to be with you and to let you know that this year, 2023, was a very tough year in Haiti, somewhat, especially for the schools. As you know, we have four schools right now, three grade schools and one high school. But the school this year was very tough. It was supposed to open in September, and a little bit of difficulties. We were not able to open till January. But we pushed the children and then even come to school on Saturday. And last week, we sent 112 ninth graders to take the national exam. And they all come out excited. We did well. But we have to wait for the result sometimes next week to see how many of them passed the national exam. But if everything is the way we've done before, guess what? All of them will pass. We've done that for 35 years, and I'm sure this year will not be an exception. Tomorrow, we will send 13 graders in high school ready to take the SAT and to go to college. And I tell you, when I see what is happening in the ministry to Christian education, I could only hope the best is yet to come in Haiti because of the education that young people are receiving. And we have lots of examples of that. For the past 34 years, we have some good students in making changes in the society of Haiti, all because of your partnership, because of your prayers. And I have no doubt in my mind we will see more of that. If you are sponsoring children, keep doing it, please, and talk about it with other friends. If you're not sponsoring a child, I will pray that you would. If you cannot do it one by yourself, it's $40 a month, and you could join with somebody else and do it. And somebody told me, Leon, it's easy for us in America to sponsor a child. All we have to do, just don't go out one day a month out of a restaurant. That will cover it. Is it true? Just go out. They don't go out with husband and wife and families for one night a month. That will take care of sponsoring one child. That's easy. So think about that, because if Haiti is going to be the country that God could use in a mighty way, good Christian education is the key. And I'm sure you're well aware of that. As far as the ministry, not only the school is going very well, right now the three churches are meeting and are worshiping, and the church in Cité Soleil has been split in two different groups. The people live in Cité Soleil because of the insecurity. They stay in Cité Soleil. But if you don't live in Cité Soleil, you cannot go to Cité Soleil and worship. Now we worship at Terre Noire, another campus. And together, Terre Noire campus met together with the Cité Soleil group, 1,500 people plus meet every Sunday to worship the Lord. That's exciting. And not counting repatriate, who has between 700 to 800 people every Sunday worshiping the Lord. It's a great thing. When you open your TV and listen to CNN or Fox, do you hear these things? No. That's not their job. It's my job to let you know what God is doing in Haiti. And I tell you, he's doing great things and greater things yet because of your prayers and your partnership. And I thank God for that. When it comes to the clinic, you and other donors in Haiti and the States have helped Haiti in big ways. We started with two doctors. Now we have five doctors working in the clinic. And we've seen some days more than 100 patients every single day for 5 days a week. So we are not only meeting the gospel, preach the word, we're meeting the needs of the people every day, and plus the education. So the best is yet to come, guys. Not talking about the water purification systems. We're giving water out every day to the community. So good things are happening, and I thank you for that. Now, a couple months ago, some of you have received an appeal letter for the flood relief. We had water coming. There was a flood going through Haiti, inundation like we've never seen before. Some people said the last time they saw it was about 15, 16 years ago. And there was water up to 44 feet inside of some houses in Repatriate and Cité Soleil and Terre Noire. But thank God, because of the appeal, you responded very well. We are now cleaning some houses. We are putting roofs in some houses in Cité Soleil and Terre Noire. And we also building new houses to make life better. Many community leaders and church members have lost their papers, like birth certificates, books, and their own personal belongings. And we were able to give them some money to replace that. And I tell you what, there's lots of joy, lots of excitement, lots of thank you. And I hope someday, those of you who have not been able to go to Haiti for the past 3 or 4 years, I'm praying very hard, 2025. Yes, Ed, get ready. Get ready. And you, your band, your song leader, worship leader, you guys are invited. I would love for you to come and be a part of the worship service, and especially bring the drummer. The drummer, because in Haiti, it's not something that we see. As a matter of fact, she's the first girl drummer I've seen And so I would love for you guys to think about that. Think about it. Seriously. 2025, big group going. And Haiti will never be the same because of that. The same thing happens with Casper. Guys, God is at work right here. I'm seeing it. I'm a witness of that. Let's pray together, and before I share the word of God with you, let's pray. Father, thank you very much for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing in the world. We especially thank you for what you're doing right here at Boys Avenue Baptist Church. May your name be praised and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to share with you three verses that we find from Acts chapter 26, verses 19, 20, and 21. Acts 26, verses 19, 20, and 21. If you don't mind, please, let's stand up. So if you can, let's read these three verses together. Thank you. Paul is speaking, and he said, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and then unto the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. This is why some Jews seized me in the temple court and tried to kill me." May God bless this portion of the scriptures to bless every one of you. These three verses really capture my attention. Reveals to me and to you and to all of you who are familiar with the life of Paul, a guy who set out to destroy the church. Didn't know any better. But there is a time in our lives and in my life when we have to say yes to God. When we say yes to God, things happen. Things happen not only in our own lives, things happen in our community, things happen in the world. Yes to God. And God has a way to always be in the calling business. God is calling you, He's calling me, He's calling all of us to do something for Him. Our calling may not be as spectacular as it was in the life of Paul, but call, yes, God still in the calling business. Is He calling to the small voice? Is He calling you to circumstances in life? Is He calling you in a way that you were not expecting? But calling, God is calling. Because the world needs you. As Christians, as believers, the world needs you. And God so desired so that you could be of service to Him in your community and in the world. Paul said, "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Yes, God. When is it time for you and for me to say yes to God? And when we do, spectacular things happen. I don't remember exactly when you say yes to God for a specific reason, but we constantly have to say yes to God. Whether it be yes to God to do this for Him this year, but yes to God to do something for Him next year, yes to God, whatever it is that you want me to do. One thing I realize that in our response to God, especially yes to God, we become a liberated person. We become a person who is very excited. We become people who are not afraid, not ashamed, not embarrassed to say that we have a relationship with God. We have discovered what God has planned for us from the very beginning. And when we do, we're not the same, and the world around us will never be the same anymore. I'm going to tell you that I enjoy what I've been doing for the Lord for many years. And if there's another life to live, even in heaven, if there's such a thing to go and do what you to do and for God in this world, I will do it again. For 50 years, I've been in the password business. I love it. I love that ministry. I love to serve God where I know I'm best at it. And God uses us in that very special way. Yes to God, my friend, what it is. What it is that you need to say yes to God. Yes to teach Sunday school. Yes to be a part of the youth group. Yes to serve in the children's church. Yes to be a deacon. Yes to be an elder. Yes, yes, whatever it is. Try it. You like it. And I guarantee you, say yes to God. Paul, when he said yes to God, we see he's a different man. And the difference that he made in Paul's life is that he no longer become first in his life. He got his priorities straight. He's about doing what God wants him to do. And God is always first in his life. And the people that God called him to serve become second. And he become third. You know, it's so amazing how things change sometimes when we live for self. Self become first. And God, we don't know his place. And others, we don't know. But when we live as if God is first in our lives, others are second, and we're third, you wouldn't believe how liberated you are. Because I find that the most miserable people in this world are people who think they're the only one living in this world. It's all about me. Nothing else. Nobody else. And that's a miserable life. You want to be liberated? You want to enjoy life? Live not unto yourself, but live for the Lord. Paul said to the Philippians, while he was in prison, he was living such a free life in prison. He let the people know, rejoice in the Lord always. And here's a guy who was in prison. He's saying to the people who are quote-unquote free, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Because he has found his niche. Even in the prison, God was with him. So there is no sadness. Because where God is, there's liberation, there's joy. So whatever God calls you to do, whatever you say, yeah, whenever you say yes to God, go for it because he's with you and he will never leave you. That's a promise. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you. And whatever you know in your heart, I call you to do. So, the first thing I see in verse 19 is that God made a life change in Paul's life because he was not living for himself, living for God. He's a happy man. Second, when you live for God, when you live for God and other second, and you third, and reaching out to other people, you now in the global mission. It's not so much thinking about Casper. It's not so much thinking about Canada or Haiti. It's a global approach. All are inclusive in the work that God has called us to do. All. He said, I started to work right there and then where I met Jesus Christ in Damascus. And then I went to Jerusalem. And then I went to Judea. And then I went to the Gentiles. So that everyone is important in the sight of God. And that's what the church is all about. God called us to be part of his people so that we could reach out to others. I'm so excited to know that God has a purpose for every single one of you. God has called you to be his mouth, his feet, his eyes in the world. And so happy when we do that. Damascus. Where is your Damascus? Could it be Casper? Could it be your own community? Where's your Jerusalem? A little bit farther. Where is your Judea? Where's all the nations? Everyone is included in God's plan for you. My friend is so excited. There are people who are waiting to know God in such a way that you alone could answer that for them. In living for God, many times we don't realize that. It is not so much thing the Bible said, would you believe in Jesus Christ? Repent and be baptized. All these things are good. We've seen it this morning. But I'd like for you to remember this morning, many of the people who do not know Jesus Christ, they heard that there is a Bible, but they will never open the Bible to know about Jesus. You are the open Bible to them. You are the fifth gospel, I call it. The fifth gospel, the gospel according to Ed, the gospel according to you, me. That's what the people are looking for. Never open the Bible, but they're looking at your life to see the difference that God has made in your life. That's the only open book they have, your life and my life. And think about it. I've seen it in some friends that I have, even as I was visiting this week. I've seen a friend that I know, the way he conducts himself, reaches out to people, those who do not know Jesus Christ, even if you are in Jesus Christ, say, wow, what a witness, what a Christian life he lives, so that others will know Jesus Christ because he lives. So, when you come to Jesus Christ, you find your niche. You want to do what God wants you to do. You heard the voice. You have your own vision. You have your own calling, and you take it seriously. You know the calling is not just for you. It's for everyone to be a part of that. And it takes you to be able to do that. But finally, in verse 21, he said, while we are doing our calling and fulfill our calling, it's not that easy. There are times you will find difficulties to do what God has called you to do. And people will seize you. People will make fun of you. People will ridicule you. But know your calling without a doubt, and no one could discourage you because you know what you've been called to do. Paul said, I received my calling. I'm convinced that God wants me to do this for him in my life. And I set out to do it. And my setting out to do it, I want to everyone to know that. No matter where you are, what nationality, what group, what ethnic groups you are, I want you to know that. But yet, in doing so, people don't always understand you. Whether you are in Casper, whether you are in Haiti, whether you are in Canada, take a stand for God and convince of your calling and saying yes to God. It's not always easy. But you know your calling. Be firm. Be determined. Trust in God's promises that is with you. And knowing that if one person, you could get one person to understand why you're living the life you're living and accept it, it's worth all the efforts. I like the verse that said, what it will profit a man to gain the whole world and loses his soul. And I reverse that. I change it. Also, what is it that you could spend in someone's soul that is not worth it? So, my friends, thank you very much for coming today. Celebrate baptism, celebrate communion, celebrate worshiping together, celebrate the worship songs with different style of music. It's all exciting. God has made the provision to feed you and to go out and be a witness to Him. Now, I understand that I have an accent. I know that. But if you understand 30%, even 20% of what I said, you did very well. You know that? You did very well. But guess what? If only 20% you understand, that's your responsibility. Don't worry about the 80% that you did not understand. What are you going to do with the 20% you understand? And the same is true with the Bible. There are things after 52 years that I've been witnessing and serving the Lord and teaching, there are things that I still not quite understand. I don't quite understand. God is not going to judge me or judge you by what you don't understand. But you will be responsible for what you understand and neglected it. I love you. Thank you again for your partnership. And I hope and pray 2025, we will have a group, the worship group especially, go to Haiti. And Haiti will never be the same. Thank you very much.
So now we come to our time of invitation, our time of decision. And as Pastor Leon shared the message this morning, you know, Paul, he said yes. As he was sharing this, he was sharing with King Agrippa. And if you keep reading through that passage and you get a little further, King Agrippa says, "You almost convinced me. You almost convinced me." And as we come to this time of invitation, we look at the idea of saying yes. There's some here this morning that maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Almost. You've heard the message, but you haven't. Maybe you're here this morning, you haven't fallen through in baptism, and you say, "Well, I thought about it, but I never did it." Maybe you're here today and God's calling you to some ministry to do something, and I was almost convinced to do that. Maybe as we look at this idea of sharing this gospel, maybe there's somebody that you know needs to hear, and like, "Well, I almost told them. I almost." This morning, as we had this time of invitation, examine your heart. Are you saying yes to God? Whatever He asks you to do, are you willing to take that step of faith and not be like King Agrippa and say, "You almost convinced me," but be like Paul and said, "I'm all in. I'm following you, whatever you would have for me."